Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the NFL season 2018. This is a brand new series of The Fumble with myself, Vernon Kay, and the man over there, Mr. Darren Fletcher. Darren, here we go again, my friend.
And do you know what? It doesn't seem 5 minutes since we were stood behind the end zone in Minnesota, me and you, cheering on Philadelphia in the middle of a gaggle of New England Patriots supporters. Having had about 25 Budweisers, and to be honest, my head was just about gone. But what a great night. But it doesn't seem 5 minutes since we were there, does it?
It doesn't at all. And we were knee-deep in empty bottles of Bud Light. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Boys and girls, we were drinking Bud Light. Because in America, if you're going to put in a session, you can't drink European beer. It's got to be the American stuff that's slightly alcoholic water.
If I was drinking the European stuff, I would still be there now. There's no way I would have made it back. The only good thing about that trip was that you got me in such a state, and you did really well, actually. You know, you surprised me. But it was a good job my flight was postponed the following day because I don't think they would have let me on.
Well, I went back out. I went out with Jason Bell, Osu Manura, and your massive defensive end from the Denver Broncos, former Dallas Cowboy.
DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware. And can I just say, DeMarcus, I know you'll probably never hear this, but what a lovely guy. It was a pleasure to spend some time in his company. Very polite, very gentlemanly, and thanks for getting me on the guest list. Anyway, Darren, let's kick off. It's the biggest question that everyone has probably asked you on the old Twitter, on the social media. Go on.
Stop. I tell you why, because everybody expects us at this stage to ask who's going to win the Super Bowl. But that's not the biggest question on this podcast this week, Vernon Kay.
All right.
The biggest question this week on this podcast, and there's guys out there, girls out there, they've been doing this for the last 2 weeks. They've all been picking their fantasy teams.
No!
And they've all took tremendous care in what they're doing.
No!
Right? And they were all thinking, with the number 68th pick in the draft, what should I do? And you had the dilemma last night. Last night. The dilemma was, pick 68, what do I do? Do I take Josh Gordon, who's still on the board? Deshaun Watson, who's still on the board? Jordan Reed, who's still on the board? Tight ends are scarce. Carlos Hyde, featured running back for the Cleveland Browns. No! I'm going to take Greg Zuerlein, the kicker for the Rams. The big question is, why, Vernon?
All right.
Why?
Right. Here's my thing. I woke up this morning and it was like I had beer fear. You know when you've had a few drinks and you wake up the following morning and think, oh, did I really say that? Or was I really dancing on the tables with my shirt spinning around my head, topless, in front of everyone? I had that feeling this morning. I thought, did I actually, mid-draft, pick a defence?
You took a kicker before the defense.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Okay, because
fifth round pick was a kicker.
I was fifth pick in the first round. I went. I picked Ezekiel Elliott because he was the best running back still on the board.
I've got the draft in front of me. I'll tell you exactly what you did. So you took with your first pick Zeke Elliott. With your second pick, you took Aaron Rodgers. With your third pick, you took Zach Ertz. At this point, I'm thinking, this man is constructing a roster. This man, Howie Roseman gets all the credit for building the Eagles last season into a Super Bowl winner. My man is building a roster. After that, you take the Jaguars D in round four. Hmm. At this stage, I'm thinking, hang on. In round five, you got back to reality. You took Chris Hogan. So I'm thinking, okay, breakout season, think he's going to do well. But in round six, pick 68, I took Evan Ingram at 65, Devin Funchess 66, Josh Gordon 67, Greg the Leg at 68 by you, and then Deshaun Watson, Jordan Reed, Drew Brees, Corey Davis, on and on and on. A defense and a kicker inside six rounds. You know something, my friend. None of us do. I don't know what it is yet, but you do.
And last year, I came second in our draft by using average wide receivers. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that again. So if you think about it, there is a bit of method in my madness. I took the best quarterback. I got a top three tight end. I got the best kicker and I got the best defense. I got a top five running back and my receivers and everything else, Darren, and this is what's making me really worried. Everything else is absolute dog shite.
I would like to put a question out to our loyal fumble downloaders. Has anybody else who's drafted this close season taken a kicker any higher than pick 68? If right. You have, just be honest and tell us. Just tell us. Make Verne feel better.
But I think you're guaranteed an average of, or let's say, a minimum of 9 points by taking him. He's better than most people's flex. Let's be honest.
But what if they're better in the red zone this year than they were last year? He doesn't get so many field goals.
Yeah, but we're moving on now to facts and stats about football, Darren, and that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about the fun of the NFL. But I'll tell you, like, I saw Jared Goff on the board, and I didn't take him. I took Dak Prescott as a backup because I've got Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is by, I think it's either week 7 or week 9. So I thought I need a decent quarterback. And by that time, we know that Dak Prescott is going to be up and running. He's going to be firing if the Cowboys have a great season, which, let's be honest, they're going to have an average season anyway. So Dak's going to replace Aaron. And then I'm thinking, I'm stuck now because all the wide receivers that are left are pretty average. And I really didn't know what to do. But then I thought, well, look, Jared Goff's still there. Do I take Jared Goff or Dak? I took Dak because I don't think Jared Goff is still the quarterback that the head coach of the Rams, Sean McVay, wants him to be. So I think field goals are still going to be 10 aplenty. And that's why I took the leg.
I was really happy with my team, by the way. Load of speed, good team. I took a little bit of a gamble on Andrew Luck, but provided the shoulder's okay, I got him in a great position in the draft, a lot lower than he would ordinarily be drafted.
All right, tell us who you got. So, don't keep us waiting.
I got Alvin Kamara and Lovely. Christian McCaffrey with the first two picks.
McCaffrey, average.
I think he'll be a workhorse this year and will outperform his draft position. Tyreek Hill, Alex Collins, the next two. Lovely. So three top running backs in four picks. Juju Smith-Schuster as my second wideout. Evan Ingram as my tight end. I think he'll be really good in the Giants system this year. Andrew Luck at quarterback. Then I went for a bit of depth. While you were taking kickers, I was taking Will Fuller of the Houston Texans, Kenny Stills of the Miami Dolphins, James White of the New England Patriots. Two defenses, the Texans and the Steelers. Then I got Jared Goff in case Luck's shoulder falls off. And then my kicker right at the end, pick 161, almost 100 picks after you. I took Will Lutz of the New Orleans Saints. They are Kamara Chameleon, winners of the league this year.
I'll tell you who my shining light could be.
Yeah.
Right? Aguilar for the Philadelphia Eagles. Because they are weak at the moment at wide receiver. And I think he's going to get a lot of football. But we'll see. We'll see.
The reason why I took Kenny Stills is that Jarvis Landry's gone. He's now the number one receiver in Miami. And Tannehill does like to pass it. Kenyon Drake's a good running back. And I just think where he was in the draft, he's probably going to outperform the position. So even though I don't expect Kenny Stills to be in the Pro Bowl, I just think you're going to get more production from than where I drafted him. So that's why I like him.
Very nice.
It does take us on very nicely, doesn't it, to the big question. And we had a bit of a laugh at the start because that's what we do on this podcast. But we're going to kick it off by not going through all the divisions and previewing the season and boring everybody to death. We're actually just going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Who's going to play in the Super Bowl? And who's going to win it? So why don't you kick us off and give us your two teams in the Super Bowl, one from the NFC and one from the AFC. Who's going to win it and why?
Right. Well, I'm going to...
I've gone right outside the box here, by the way. Mine's bizarre.
All right, you tell me yours.
I've had a bet. I've put my money where my mouth is, too.
I've done that this year. Go on. Who have you gone for?
So from the AFC, I've gone for the Los Angeles Chargers.
What?
Yep. They are, I tell you why, they're stacked on offense at all the skill positions. Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers, Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams. They've got a really good offensive line. When you look on the other side of the ball, they've got a really good defensive line. Two pass rushes on the edges, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, who will get to the quarterback. They've got a very good secondary already that's got better with Derwin James being added in the draft. And I just think that barring last season where the kicker cost them three games and they've been so unfortunate with injuries for so long, if they can go injury-free, their roster, I think, is as good as any in the league. They've got the experience in Phillip Rivers. They're at a nice age. They're all quite mature in terms of being established NFL players. And I think they're hungry. And they've all, there's an interesting little factoid as well. They've essentially got nine home games this season, Vern, as well. Because one of the road games is in the Coliseum against the Rams. So they don't actually leave Los Angeles for one of their road games. So they've got nine road games too. I also think to be a Super Bowl winner, you've got to know you're going to win your division. And I think with Pat Mahomes starting for Kansas, they might just take a little bit of a step back. I can't see the Raiders and the Broncos doing anything. So I think the Chargers win the division quite comfortably, potentially get home field advantage. And I think they're really stacked. That's why I like them.
But Phillip Rivers, I think he's just a bottler.
Cool, that's a big call.
I know it is. But if you watch Phillip Rivers, when it comes to the crunch, he's all hyped up. He's got his red sweaty face. He's got his big shoulder pads. But he always...
Sounds like Joan Collins.
Yeah. After a night on the lash in the Ritz Hotel. He just doesn't do it for me. I just don't think that he's the kind of quarterback who could get you over the line. Everything else is there, like you say, but I think Phillip Rivers, for me, some might say he's an elite quarterback, but he's yet to be proven when it comes to the crunch.
Listen. Don't start by answering my positives.
No, I know.
With your negatives.
Well, you know.
You tell everybody then who's going in there from the AFC.
All right. Well, here's I think it's pretty obvious who I'm going to pick.
Oh, you're not going there again.
I am.
Oh.
I know. It's boring. But I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. Only because of that man, Tom Brady. It's his last season. There's no way he'll play next year. Guarantee it. Yeah. It's his last season. And without doubt, Tom Brady is not going to leave the NFL on a low. Tom Brady has fired up that team. He's probably took three more paid cuts to get some players in or pay players more money. Got a defense that is consistent always. They had a slow start last year, but still got to the Super Bowl, Darren. Come on.
Yep.
I think they're sleepers this year, the Patriots, for me.
Does it not worry you the fact they've lost their left tackle in Nate Solder to the Giants? Edelman suspended four games and he's coming back off the knee reconstruction. Do you not just look at it this year and think, I mean, I know we ask it all the time. This does look like a New England Patriots roster without quite so many playmakers on it.
Darren, if they didn't have Bill Belichick, I'd say, you're 100% right. But there is nowhere that guy would put a team together that would allow water to seep through the cracks. Not a chance. That head coach, we know, he's the Fergie of American football. He's consistent. He's an angry old man. He's miserable as hell. But all he knows how to do is win. And I think if you take the New England Patriots, they're in every equation when it comes to who will make the playoffs, who's got the chance to make the Super Bowl. You cannot look away from the Pats. Outside bet for me, Darren. Atlanta Falcons.
Listen, we haven't got to the NFC yet.
All right, well, I'm just moving on swiftly as I drink my coffee. Thank you very much, Sarah, from reception for bringing the coffee. I think the Atlanta Falcons...
You can't have all 32 teams.
Oh.
You can't.
All right, well, I'm going to go... Yeah, my outside pick, NFC, I'm going to go Atlanta Falcons. Great quarterback. A huge, huge talent at wide receiver in Julio. I think he's by far the best wide receiver in the league. It's a bold statement. And I think when it comes to contract time, he will be the highest paid player in the NFL. The man could play defensive end, middle linebacker, quarterback, offensive lineman, running back, water boy, head coach. He could be a steward delivering hot dogs 100 at a time. He is the most talented player in the NFL. They've got a great quarterback in Matty Ryan. They've got good running backs who can churn up yards. I saw that both of them have great yards after initial contact, which I think is a great statistic when you're looking at running backs. How many yards do they get once physical contact has been made? And with these new rules about helmet to helmet and the physicality of the game, in my opinion, dropping, I think when you've got running backs who can carry on after initial contact, that is a stat to look at this year. And I think it's going to be one that everyone will be saying, you know what, Vern, you were right. And I think they've got a consistent defense. They've got a brand new stadium. It's the home of the Super Bowl in February. Atlanta Falcons at home versus the New England Patriots.
Right. Okay, so that's a repeat of two seasons ago, isn't it, in Houston? When they got the Super Bowl in the bag and then blew it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go for an all Los Angeles Super Bowl. I've got the Rams. I think they're stacked all over the field. Aaron Donald's happy. He's got his money. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Brandon Cooks is an upgrade on Sammy Watkins at wide receiver. The defense was excellent under Wade Phillips before. And then they signed Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, two fantastic corners. And I also think, like the Chargers, they're in a division with the Seahawks going backwards, the 49ers not quite ready. The Cardinals could actually be one of the worst teams in the league this season while Josh Rosen finds his feet.
That makes me upset.
I think, yeah, but I think, again, they win the division easily. They've got a real chance to get home field advantage. And they've only got to be a little bit better than they were last season. And they should then be the best team in the NFC. So I'm going Rams from the NFC, Chargers from the AFC, and I'm going the Chargers, the red-faced, sweating, big shoulder padded Philip Rivers, strolling around in Atlanta, waving a Lombardi around, looking for you in the crowd, saying, Vern, get out from behind the pile of Bud Lights. Come and have a taste of this trophy, my friend. I know what you said on the podcast way back in September.
All right. Bash. Well, do you know what, Darren? Just for you, I hope that you're correct. But there's a couple of sentimental things that I want to mention, right, about the Super Bowl. Okay. Firstly, the Atlanta Falcons, my defensive coach for the London Warriors, Adam Durden,
yes,
is now linebacker's assistant at the Atlanta Falcons. So there's a bit of emotion there for me. And also, Carolina Panthers, I think, have got a real chance this year to get to the playoffs and be consistent. I think Cam Newton now is in his floor. He knows where he sits in the league. He knows his ability. He knows that he can run in a minimum of 10 touchdowns a season. That's why I don't like your pick at McCaffrey on the old fantasy football, because he'll just do it himself. Anyway, F.A. Obada, defensive end for the London Warriors, has now joined the Carolina Panthers and is now a legitimate member of the 53-man squad. Now, nowhere in professional sports has an athlete gone from being an amateur, knowing nothing about the sport that he's taking part in, to go and sign a professional contract. Now, this is bigger. Now, Darren, I know you do your football on BT Sports, so you know everything about football players, soccer players. This is bigger than the Jamie Vardy story. This is bigger than the Ian Wright story. And everyone was saying, oh, Jamie Vardy's gone from this non-league football team to winning the championship with Leicester. But if F.A. Obada can get to the playoffs, if F.A. Obada can pick up a Super Bowl 4 years after picking up a Brit Bowl trophy, then come on, this is a movie which will light up Hollywood and inspire so many young people to get off the streets. Political statement coming your way. Get out of gangs. Go and make something of your life. It's easy. All it takes is hard work.
Do you know what? I just sat back there and listened to you because I couldn't agree with you more. And you're totally right with the analogy. It doesn't detract from what Wrighty did and what Jamie Vardy did. But the standard is so much closer where they were playing to where they ended up, from where Effie started to where he could potentially end up. And I also think as well, from an NFL Europe standpoint, I've always felt that if this is going to be sustainable long term, there's got to be a pathway for kids in the UK to think, I can do that too. And I think if we can start providing, it'll only ever be a small percentage. Let's not get carried away here. It's going to be one or two every now and again. But if we can see that, it makes people want to play American football. It gives youngsters the belief that they can get to a college in the US. It gives the kids the belief that they can go and play in the NFL. And I think by doing that, it just gives the sport, in general, a much greater sustainability chance than if it's just Americans playing an American game in England. If we can have some kind of participation too, then I think that just helps the process. Well done, Effie. Well done to Adam as well. These guys are flying the flag, and I just hope there's more of them going in behind them.
Well, we've got Alex Gray at the Atlanta Falcons as well. He's on the practice squad with the tight end group. He's doing really well for himself. Over at the Saints, we have defensive end Alex Jenkins, who's going to spend his second year on the practice squad from Brizzle. So we've got loads of Brits. My only concern now is Menelik Watson. He's been cut by the Broncos, so he's looking to be picked up. And I think he will, because he is a talented himself, Menelik. And we've also got what's his name at the Falcons as well, defensive lineman Jack Crawford, who is a great player. And I think Jack and Effie have become really good friends. And Jack is one of those players who never stops working hard.
This is what I like about this podcast. You've got tremendous knowledge of these guys, and you've been there as well. I mean, you've been playing in the same team as these people, so you know what it takes. You know the level they were at. You now can see the level that they are at. And that journey that they've taken is absolutely fantastic. And it's down to the talent. It's down to the determination. And it's down to the fact that people in the US are prepared to take an opportunity or give an opportunity to these guys to go on and try and develop to the level that they quite clearly can. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good, really good. We've also got Christian Scotland-Williamson, former rugby player. He's on the practice squad at the Steelers as well. So there's a great bunch of players out there.
You got any more? Any more while you're there?
That are flying the flag. Jermaine Ulumnyo. He's the number two right guard at the Ravens. I think that's how you say his surname.
Easy for you to say. Yeah, easy for you to say.
But yeah, we're doing all right. So we did our draft. We've done our Super Bowl picks. Off-season.
Yeah.
Now, the off-season, I'm preparing myself for the NFL season. And you know I like a bit of tat. I love myself a bit of NFL merchandise.
Go on, then.
And I'm scooching around and I'm thinking, what can I get myself for the new season? And I wanted one of those Chicago Bears satin jackets. Remember the old school ones that Big Mike used to wear on the sideline, pacing up and down?
He wore it
over his tank top, Chicago Bears tank top. Firstly, I tried to find one of them. You cannot find a Bears tank top, old school tank top, anywhere.
But when you get the tank top, Vern, even if you've got the satin jacket, you've got to have a tie on, which I don't think is really your scene.
And then with the tie comes the tash. And I really haven't started facial puberty yet.
No,
it's very difficult for me. The only thing that grows on my face hair-wise is nasal hair. Now, let's be honest. If your penis... If your penis grew the same rate as your nasal hair, I would be hung like a goddamn stallion. Where does it come from?
Can't you just brush it down?
Every now and again, I see Tarzan swinging underneath me. Nasal hair is like an absolute phenomenon. Anyway, this will make the edit.
It will.
So anyway, I'm scooching around looking for NFL merchandise, and I come across... Assassin jacket. It's not the Bears one I wanted, but it's the New England Patriots satin jacket. So let me get Simon in, our producer, Simon Cross, who's got a wealth of NFL experience, loves a bit of tat himself, and I'm just going to get him to describe it because... Go on, Simon. Initial reaction.
Come on, Crossy.
Oh, it's very, very plastic.
It's flammable, right?
Is it?
Yeah, but it's made by the same company that made those old-school satin jackets.
Starter, yes.
It's predominantly white... The sleeves are blue. It's a New England Patriots official starter jacket from 1986.
Where did you get it?
I got it online. And I thought, you know what? I'll look good in that. But Simon's about to take a picture. He'll put it up. And you know what? Believe it or not, I don't. I look shocking.
Oh, dear. I once did, and Crossy's got photographic evidence of this.
Sorry, Darren, we're just taking a picture. Completely didn't hear anything you were saying.
Okay, well, that sounds lovely. That's like being at home for me. Nobody's listening. This is like being at home.
He's putting it on the WhatsApp group as we speak. So
brilliant.
It's up there now. So have you got your phone with you? You can have a look.
Yeah, he's also got a picture of me somewhere. We went to New England to do one of the games and we were walking around the club shop for about 6 hours. I was buying everything I could see. But they actually had suit jackets.
What?
New England Patriots suit jackets.
Hang on.
And the logo. Yeah, the logo is all over the jacket. So it's a proper suit jacket, but it's got the Patriots logo all over it.
Oh.
I'm sure Crossy's got a photograph of me in the suit jacket. Which,
do you have that, Simon?
Which one's that?
The New England Patriots suit jacket.
It's coming right up.
He's coming right up.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You see?
That's a revelation.
How good's that?
It's not a hideous kind of stag do jacket, though, is it? Hang on. Because I think that if it was subtle, I would actually wear that, Fletch.
It's definitely the last word you would describe is subtle.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
That's shocking.
Oh, my God. It looks like Robert Kraft has just come and shat all over your jumper.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. And at the background, it says, it's about honour, it's about respect. You ain't getting any honour and you ain't getting any respect wearing that jacket. It can only be described as one of those hideous, highly flammable jackets that you see the kids wearing on stag doos these days. Oh, that is awful.
We'll stick that up there too.
We'll put that on our Twitter as well.
I didn't buy it, by the way. I just put it on for the amusement of taking the picture.
But you know what's funny? We found two pieces of hideous merchandise that both belong to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, they just lead the way everywhere, don't they? They lead the way everywhere. Yeah.
I also got given a commemorative, look at this bomber jacket, Simon. It's a commemorative Super Bowl 50 bomber jacket. It's got leather sleeves, Fletch. It looks like I've got one of those. It looks like
it's black, mine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
made by Levi's, mine.
Oh, hang on. No, this is official NFL team apparel.
Right.
Hey, and I've got a little bit of a treat for you, Fumble fans. I've been speaking to someone very high up at the NFL UK office, and they're going to give us discount codes for the NFL shop.
Are they?
Yeah, they're going to give us discount codes. Not just me and you, Darren. Oh, no, we're going to share the love.
We're going to
churn out some discount codes for the NFL shop. And also, now that they've got rid of all the glitches in the system, we've got some Game Pass codes as well that we're going to give out, which will give you, I think, 15 to 20% off the old NFL Game Pass, which,
brilliant,
as we know, we love to bits. Now that Bolton are remaining in the championship, Sky have started doing something very similar to NFL Game Pass, where they started showing the EFL games all at the same time on the red button.
It's really good, that, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Yeah. And hopefully we will be able to churn out some codes, some discount codes for NFL Game Pass, which will enable you to experience what I think is the best piece of technology in the sporting world at the moment. I think it's superb for fans, the old Game Pass.
Do you know what? I'll tell you, you are exactly right, because when you sit... as you mentioned earlier, when I'm at BT Sport and that, and they look at things that they can do and have brainstorming meetings as to what they could do to improve the coverage, how they can take the coverage on, and I'm sure Sky do it too. What's the next thing? What's the next bit of technology? One thing that always gets raised all the time is NFL Game Pass. And you simply can't replicate it for Premier League because the game is not conducive. You've not got a stage on the field where you would automatically switch to red zone, for argument's sake. It's really difficult to that red zone aspect of Game Pass is virtually impossible to replicate in most sports, I would suggest.
Yeah, so, no, you're right. I mean, obviously, you know, they try and do it on BT Sport and they try and do it on the BBC, where they get the former players, the pundits, to sit around and explain what's going on. You know, like Jeff does it on Sky, doesn't he? Where the guys sit around and they talk, but. It's down to the pundit to be good at describing what's happening, because you don't see it because of commercial rights and intellectual property and all this kind of stuff about the game. It's all about the regions that the Premier League is shown in, I do believe. But with the NFL, because they own all their own content and it's not split up into different divisions or nations or territories, they can do whatever they want with it. And that's why Game Pass and Red Zone is so... And let's be honest, the guy who hosts NFL Red Zone is an absolute legend.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned him, because what was the fella in Dynasty with the white hair?
Mr. Colby, was it?
Yeah, because when Scott Hansen, in 20 years' time, he'll be the fella from Dynasty. If you just said, where's this fella from? And he never spoke, you'd go, America.
Yeah.
He's got that, you know, he's almost got the Howie Long haircut, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's very handsome.
He's got the suit that doesn't quite fit, it's just ever so slightly too big.
Never makes a mistake.
The tie doesn't go with the shirt doesn't go with the jacket doesn't go with the tie.
Loves a pair of slacks with bolting shoes and a tan leather belt.
But he carries it off.
Yeah.
carries it off, doesn't he?
Scott Hansen is different level. He is different level. He's the American equivalent of Jeff Shreves.
He should have been. I mentioned earlier, but he should have been Joan Collins' toy boy in Dynasty all day long. Perfect.
Such a stud. Yeah. Right. So there we go. We've sold the NFL, I think, now, and as you can gather, we love it. It's everything that you expect it to be. Yeah, it goes on for a bit, but bloody hell, enjoy it, please. Yes. And we're here for the whole season. And if there's anything that you want to do, anything that you want to say, anything that you want us to do, then get in touch via our Twitter handle. Are we still at the fumble?
We're still at the fumble. The only one problem is I can't get onto the Twitter page anymore, nor can you. So Crossy is in charge of all of that. Crossy's going to be in charge of doing all the fumble stuff from the Twitter page all the way through the season.
And Simon's just put out a tweet saying, worst at Patriots jacket, RT for Vernon K, like for Darren Fletcher.
They're both terrible, aren't they?
They're both awful. Goddamn yeah. Awful. And as always...
Oh, wow, Vern.
I know.
I've just looked at it now.
I know. As always, comment, please, and subscribe. We appreciate it because I was having a laugh with my daughters this week because they're all into YouTubers. They don't watch telly anymore. They're into YouTubers. And I overheard the girls talking about YouTubers. And every single time they mentioned a YouTuber, all they kept saying was, hi, guys, remember, subscribe, rate, comment. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, oh, that's what every YouTuber says. You have to subscribe, you have to comment, you have to rate. So for us, please, we're going to replicate what the YouTubers say. Do us a favour, subscribe, comment, like us, because that's how you climb up the charts. And to be honest with you, we're not that fussed, but do us a favour. Thanks very much.
Let me have a go then. So everybody, subscribe, rate, comment. Thanks. I did that well, didn't I?
Simple as that.
I was good at that.
I think we're showing our age.
Well, yeah. Hey, when you see us in the two jackets, we're certainly showing our age. I think it's mine. I've got to be honest. I think yours is quite cool compared to mine.
The back's all right. I'll show you the back in a minute. But, it's just bloody awful. It's highly flammable. Like, if I go outside and it's 25 degrees, I'm just going to combust. I'm just going to set on fire.
I'm doing your 4-1 at the minute, which is the worst jacket.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm doing your 4-1 at the minute.
Nice.
It's not even close at the moment. It's that Patriot suit jacket.
It's hideous.
Oh, dear.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway, where are we now? What are we doing now?
Right, there's one question I want to ask you, Darren, because you're the man who knows everything about football. You're the man who knows every stat. You know every player for every team. There's been some big moves in the NFL over summer. I want to talk about Khalil Mack. Why has he gone from the Raiders to the Bears? Is it a Gruden issue? Is it the fact that he didn't like what's going on over there at the Raiders and he's gone to Chicago? Have Chicago made the right gamble? It looked expensive with the old draft picks. What do you think? What's happening there?
Well, I looked at it, and the only reason they've done it is because they didn't want to pay. I mean, it's clear. I mean, you don't let a player of that calibre leave if you're prepared to pay.
Because they are very few good rushers, aren't they, in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, Khalil Mack didn't want to leave the Raiders per se. He wanted to be paid like Aaron Donald. Raiders decided not to. They then got the best offer available, which was the two first-round picks, etc., from the Bears. Now, I don't think there are many coaches in the NFL who could have done it. I think maybe Belichick could have got away with a move like that. Gruden can, for the simple fact of the matter is, they've basically given him the authority to do what he likes. They're paying him more than any coach in the NFL for a ridiculously long guaranteed contract. So he can make this kind of personnel decision without any real fear of losing his job. What I'm struggling with is that I can't work out whether it's a good deal for the Raiders or a good deal for the Bears. Because the Bears get one of the top two or three pass rushers in the league for barring injury the next decade, which they've probably looked at the draft and thought, we're not going to get one as good as him. Then from the Bears' standpoint, they give up two first-round picks, which you kind of know what the currency is for two first-round draft picks. The Raiders then lose Khalil Mack and don't have to pay the money, but now they've got to make those picks work. And if you look at some of the Raiders' first-round picks over the last decade, apart from Khalil Mack and one or two others, they've been terrible. I mean, when you think about Robert Gallery, Carl Joseph, Darius Haywood Bay, you know, these are all top 10 first-round picks from the Raiders who have just not panned out at all. So this is only a good deal for the Raiders, in my opinion, if they now draft well. But if they blow the two first-round picks, they've achieved nothing. From Chicago, they get Roquan Smith. They've got Leonard Floyd. They've got a decent secondary. They drafted their franchise quarterback last season. This is now a team, I think, that can push towards 8 wins this season in the NFC North, and then moving forward can hopefully, you know, put one or two pieces to the puzzle, let one or two of those players on the current roster mature, and then they can start challenging the Packers and the Vikings sooner rather than later. From the outset, I think this is a deal that stacks up heavily in the Bears' favour, because I've just not got faith in the Raiders to use the picks well.
But is that no faith in the Raiders? Is that because of their head coach? I mean, now they've got Gruden there, and we know what he was like for ESPN and the sports channels when it came to the draft and his analysis of players. Do you not think that that's a game changer, knowing that, you know what, John Gruden's there, he knows his college players inside out, left to right, back to front, upside down?
Well, I look at it and I think, you know, from an NFL standpoint, you know, they've always been loath, haven't they, these franchises, to give out guaranteed money and to give out big contracts. The Green Bay Packers have a brand new general manager in Brian Gutekunst. I think that's how you pronounce it. Got to be careful with that one. If you're chewing your pastels. He was happy to give Rodgers the big contract. But you say, well, of course he would. He's the best player in the game, arguably. Yeah, but that's a lot of money. If he gets injured, does his ACL week one this season and can't play again, that franchise is ruined for the next decade. Aaron Donald for the Rams, they've been prepared to pay him too. It just strikes me as strange that a fella's come out of the television booth having not coached for how many seasons, and the first thing he does of any significance is to trade away the best player on the team by a significant margin for two first-round draft picks. He might be a genius. He might be a fool. We won't know for 5 years or so whether this has been a good decision by the Raiders, because they've got to make those two draft picks, and then you've got to give them the opportunity to become impact players in the NFL. And believe me, Vern, for this to be a good draft for the Raiders, both of them have got to get to a ridiculously high standard to get anywhere near the level of performance we're going to see from Khalil Mack. Flip side of it is, Mack gets injured this season, never the same again. Raiders get two first-round picks. You can't really analyse it, I don't think, for probably 4 or 5 years.
Isn't it crazy?
If we're being serious.
It's one of the big differences in American football and football that we know, let's say Premier League football, is that you have to be patient as a fan in the NFL, because we're talking about first-round draft picks, and you said there, this investment is going to take 5 years. Where in the Premier League, there's no patience. If your team is doing bad, let's take West Ham, for example, at the moment, still yet to win in the Premier League. They're talking about the manager being fired. There's no accountability on the field, but yet in the NFL, the accountability is, if you mess up, there's a possibility that you could be out the door. And we've traded our best player, but we're going to invest in the future. So please be patient, and let's see how these two first-round draft picks pan out with our new head coach, who's making a lot of money. Fans, be patient. We've invested in a team that's going to take, like you said, maybe 5 years to get to where it's at. In European sport, you don't get 5 years.
No, you don't get 5 weeks. You know, and what I would say, Vern, as well, I don't think the Raiders now win any more than 4 games this year.
Whoa!
Because they had
seriously?
They had a bad defense with Khalil Mack. Even with him on the field, they were a bad defense. They now stink on defense. They've got to score 30, 35 points to win a game.
Hang on,
that is how bad that defense is now.
Let me make a note of that. You don't think the Raiders
will win more than 4 games this season.
Will win more than 4 games?
Yeah. My over-under for the Raiders now without Mack is 4. Because there's that much pressure now on Derek Carr and
now that he's been paid,
Marshawn Lynch.
Now that he's been paid as well.
But listen, if you can't stop anybody, you know, and are those players, Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, Amari Cooper, is that as explosive as some of the offenses that they're going to be playing week after week in the league? I don't think so. And they've got a defense now that can't stop anybody, can't get any pressure on the quarterback because their pass rush is gone. Their secondary was poor last year, and it's not going to be any better this year when there's no pressure on the opposing quarterback. I think this is a write-off season now for the Raiders.
Wow.
And I think Gruden is going to be under pressure, regardless of the contract, because they're just not going to be winning. I cannot make a case for them winning games. I just find it impossible.
And then once they get to Vegas, he's going to struggle getting them on the MGM Grand.
All the best. Selling a team to Las Vegas who roll in there off a 4-12 season or whatever it is.
Wow.
All the best.
Oh, yeah, all the best. Good luck with that. Well, we'll see how that pans out. Remember, Darren Fletcher just said that he can't see the Raiders winning any more than four games.
I've either come back from the summer and I've been in the sun too long because I've got the Raiders winning four, I've got the Chargers winning the Super Bowl, or I'm a genius. It's one or the other.
I think it might be the light here bouncing off my Patriots jacket, Darren, that sent you into a tizzy.
Pick six. In for a pick six.
Another pick six. Right, let's do the pick six. Here we go. Moments of the summer, Darren, when you missed the NFL the most. Did you see me hanging out with Leonard Fournette?
Do you know I did, yeah. And I thought, here he goes again.
He is.
I never get the invite, do I?
He is one of the loveliest blokes you could ever wish to meet. Very quiet, very collected. He's got quads on him that I have dreamed of all my adolescent life. Like, his legs are a joke. And there's no wonder that he's one of the best running backs in the NFL because it looked to me, Darren, like he's lost a little bit of weight. So I think he's looking for that extra burst of speed this season, which some might say come second half, especially in the playoffs, they were lacking with that extra burst of speed and hence why they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. But I think Leonard Fournette on form has got to be one of the best runners in the league.
I think the one time I was in the US, went on holiday with the family, we drove through Tampa on the way to Clearwater and we could see the stadium in the distance. And that was the time when I thought, wouldn't it be great just to pop in there and watch a game while I'm here? But it's nearly here now, so I've kind of forgotten about the dark days where there was no NFL to watch. So I'm just quite excited now. So I'm more positive and upbeat about what we're going to see over the next 6 to 7 months.
I think it's a pretty even season. There's a handful of good teams. And there's a lot of average teams. And I think
the NFC is stocked.
Yeah.
NFC is stocked.
I think it's that group of teams who are good, not excellent, that are good, that are going to make a massive difference this season. And I think we're in for some surprises. Hence why reflecting on your picks for the Super Bowl, Darren, apart from Philip Bottler Rivers, I think if it was Chargers, and who else do you say? Rams.
Rams, yeah.
I think that's the Super Bowl that we haven't seen the Rams in there for a while. The Chargers haven't been there for a long time. It should be good.
Now, the question on my sheet now says, Fletch DeVern, the worst NFL-related merch of the year. We've already worked that out.
Yeah.
You're not going to make anything worse than the jacket that you bought. No. So I'm going to throw this one in. Which franchise is correct? The New York Jets to start Sam Darnold from week one, third overall pick in the draft, or the Browns, who are going to start with Tyrod Taylor and not Baker Mayfield, who they took first overall in the draft. Which franchise is correct?
I watched Baker Mayfield in the bowl game at the end of the season, and there was a lot of hype about him. Obviously, he's a standout quarterback, but when you watch him play, he reminds me of Johnny Football, right? It reminds me of RG3. And they're two quarterbacks who, in college football, have made a statement by being able to pass it, short yardage mainly, and run it, the run option. Those quarterbacks in the NFL don't succeed. And I think benching Baker Mayfield, not benching him, but resting him, getting prepared to become a legitimate starter in the NFL is the right decision, because I think those kind of quarterbacks struggle. And he's not the tallest, Darren. When you see him play, he's not the tallest quarterback. But I think if you look at Darnold for the Jets, I think he is a legitimate pocket passer. I think he's strong enough to stand in there, strong enough to take a few hits. And I think the Jets have made the right decision. And I also think the Browns have made the right decision by resting their Baker Mayfield.
I'm going to go Jets are right, Browns are wrong. if you take the fella first in the draft and he's a quarterback and he's the Cleveland Browns, play him. The supporters have no hope whatsoever because they're Browns fans. What are they, 1-31 in the last two seasons? It can't get any worse if you play Baker Mayfield and not Tyrod Taylor. Quarterbacks are more NFL-ready out of college these days. And the name I just mentioned, Tyrod Taylor, he's the option. Baker Mayfield has to be better than Tyrod Taylor. Otherwise, you wouldn't take him with the first pick in the draft. Get Baker Mayfield on the field. Get Sam Darnold on the field. Get Josh Allen on the field. Get him out there. Let him play. The quarterbacks that have gone out there and played from the start of the season in recent seasons have done really well.
But the Browns did that last year, Darren, and he was an absolute nightmare.
It wasn't good enough, though, was he? That was the difference.
I know, but if
Sean Kizer wasn't to the level of Baker Mayfield.
But would Sean Kizer have been an NFL standard quarterback if they'd have rested him for maybe half the season instead of putting him up there first, because his passing was way out? He looked like a nervous wreck. If they'd have invested time in him, which we talked about investing in time earlier on, do you think it would have made a difference, or is he just a bad quarterback?
Well, he's at the Packers now, so we'll find out, learning from Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin, so we'll kind of find out what he is. Here's one for you. This is where it's going to get interesting, because Jimmy Haslam, the owner there, is not a patient man, is he?
No.
So he's going to be watching Hard Knocks like the rest of us, and he's scratching his head trying to work out how the hell Hugh Jackson is still his head coach. Week three is the Browns against the Jets in Cleveland. So Sam Darnold rolls into town.
Brilliant.
And Baker Mayfield stood there holding a clipboard. Do you think at that stage Jimmy Haslam might just put the number of Hugh Jackson's cell phone into his and go, listen, by the way, Darnold went three. You could have picked him. You've taken the other fella. I'm watching this Tyrod Taylor. Get Mayfield on the field, sharpish.
It's a possibility.
Do you think that's a possibility?
It's a possibility. As long as both of them don't turn out to be Ryan Leaf, I think they'll be all right. Breaking news, Darren. I'm a little bit jealous.
Well, I'm a bit concerned. I know what you're going to ask.
On Saturday, you're going to be on the same stage as Matt Forte.
Yeah.
What's going on? How will it be?
Well, I don't know. I think the emphasis is on him to be nice. You know, we told the story last year. He wasn't very nice to me in the Bears locker room when I was simply trying to do what everybody else in the room was doing. In an open locker room, I was trying to ask him a question. I think the fact I got an English accent maybe didn't help my cause. And he was quite rude. And then I'm going to be on the stage at Piccadilly Circus with Neil, with OC and with Jason as part of the big NFL kickoff weekend. And who do they send across to join in? Matt Forte.
Brilliant.
So
I can't
listen,
wait for this.
Let me tell you what I'm going to be
Hi,
like.
Hi, Matt. Remember
exactly,
me.
Exactly. I'll tell you what I'm going to be like. I'm going to look at the fella's size, look at the fella's shoulders, look at the look on his face, and I'm going to say, hello, Mr. Forte, how are you? And I'm not going to mention it.
Are you not going to wall him up?
No, I've not got the body.
Seen your Instagram over summer. You've been hitting the gym more than most.
What I might say to him is, when you're on the plane, give this podcast a listen to, because there's an interesting story on there.
Yeah.
And get back to me. But wait till you're about 3 hours over the Atlantic and then give me a shout.
So what's going to go on? What's going on down there on Regent Street?
Well, they've moved it from Regent Street to Piccadilly Circus. So what we used to do around one of the international series games is close off Regent Street and have the full NFL experience down there. They've decided to do it this season around the NFL kickoff instead. So the Vamps are going to be playing. There's NFL alumni down there, loads of things going on, NFL store, all the things that you would normally associate with that Saturday before one of the international series games is going to be taking place this Saturday. Really delighted to be involved, as I always am. Love working with the NFL London guys and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be a fun day. Get yourself down there. We're going to see loads and loads of NFL fans, as we always do. And it'd be a great way to kick the season off, get everybody together again and kick it off from there.
Now, let me ask you, just quickly for my Wall of Fame gym,
yes,
as I like to call it, what alumni are going down apart from Matt Forte? Do you know?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've got the meeting later this week where they tell us.
Oh.
I was only pre-warned about one name. and that's there's an obvious reason behind it.
I love it. I really do.
Let me give you one here, because I really want to know what you think about this. What is more likely this season? That the Philadelphia Eagles repeat or retreat?
Well, they're going to start with Nick Foles, aren't they?
Yep.
Carson Wentz isn't ready.
Not cleared for contact even yet.
Well, I've seen footage of him launching a football a few weeks ago, and he looks fit, he looks healthy, he looks ready to go. I'm surprised that they're going with Nick Foles, but obviously you want to cherish your best asset, and if Wentz isn't ready, then fair enough. I think it's going to be difficult without him because he was the quarterback that built their season last year. However, look at Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. He was superb. We were there to witness it. Second half, we can barely remember because we were drowning in the old Bud Light. But I think they're going to be up there. I think they've got some tough competition, which we spoke about earlier on. I would like to see them up there because we haven't seen a back-to-back Super Bowl winner in a long time, have we?
Let me ask you this. How many years is it since there was a repeat winner of the NFC East, let alone a repeat Super Bowl winner, since the same team won the NFC East in back-to-back years? How many years?
I'm going to go early 90s.
No, it's not that long.
Is it not?
No.
Giants did it, no? 2 years back to... What?
No. It's 14 years since it happened.
Who was it?
It was the Eagles won it 3 years in a row under Andy Reid.
No way.
It's 14 years since there's been a repeat winner of that division. We always talk about the NFC South, don't we? Where Tampa, the Saints, the Panthers and the Falcons tend to rotate as division champions. The NFC East is the same. So 14 years. So they've got their work cut out, Philadelphia, simply to repeat as division champions, let alone get into the playoffs. I mean, if they're a wild card team, they've got to go on the road. There's a lot of things. They've got a quarterback banged up. From a team that looked so talented and is so talented last February to the questions that are being asked now is quite remarkable, really, bearing in mind they've not played a meaningful game since.
Who was their quarterback then? Was it Donovan?
Donovan McNabb, yeah. Yeah. And they had Brian Westbrook and that group of players. Terrell Owens there for the season, all that kind of thing. Here's another quick one, mate. I'm just going to give this one to you. What's the pick of the three London games for you?
Well, for me... We talked about it a lot last year. We have to support the Jacksonville Jaguars, so I will be ramping them up as they take on Super Bowl champions, the Eagles. But if you look at the one, Oakland Raiders versus the Seattle Seahawks, a rivalry to behold in the NFL. We're going to get the Raiders again. First time we see the Seahawks. I've got family in Seattle. The first NFL team I ever saw live when I was Sweet 16, stood outside their training facility. I met Dave Craig, met Steve Largent, met a whole bunch of iconic Seattle Seahawks players. Family-wise, I think a couple of... You know when you got family who are not really family, but you've known them for so long, you call them cousins and uncles and aunties. I've got a couple of cousins coming over. So I'm looking forward to the Oakland Raiders, Seattle Seahawks, but let's go Jags. Okay. Yourself?
All of them. I think they're all great this year.
Yeah.
I know there was a bit of a knock a couple of years ago that one or two teams didn't really set the pulses racing. I like all three. Can't wait for all three this year. Really, really good.
And for all them people who say, no, we've only got three games. Hey, stop. Pinch yourself.
Yeah. We've got three games.
Behave yourself.
Take the only out.
Exactly. We've got three games and they are great teams. The Oakland Raiders, Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champions, Jacksonville Jaguars, playoff Jacksonville Jaguars, Titans, unbelievable. And the Chargers, Darren's pick for the Super Bowl. They're all coming here for us.
Yep. Question five. Come on, Vern.
All right,
running
let's
out
go.
Time.
Go on, me to you. If you could see one regular season game this year, what would it be? Would it be Brady Rodgers?
No, it's one that I'm going to go and see. In November... It's the last year of the Oakland Coliseum before the Raiders go to Vegas. And I've always wanted to go and see a game in that ramshackle stadium with all that history. So in November, I'm going to go and see the Raiders hosting the San Diego Chargers. My mate's just gone to live on the west coast of America. I'm going to go and visit him. I'm going to watch the Golden State Warriors play basketball on the Friday. And I'm going to go to the Coliseum on the Sunday and see the Raiders Chargers. And I cannot wait, simply because after this year, you won't get to go back to that stadium to watch a game there anymore.
You know what's interesting there, Darren, in everything you've just said? Yeah. You kept saying, I'm going to go here. That I'm's going to become a we, Darren, I'm afraid.
You're more than welcome to join. You have an open invitation to come with me wherever I go.
I would love that. That would be awesome.
Open invitation.
Go on then, last one.
Last one, Vern. Are you going to put the pads on at all this season?
No. I'm not, okay. And this is the reason why I won't be watching yourself and lovely Neil Reynolds and Orsi and Jason at the NFL season opener on Regent Street. It's the Brit Bowl this weekend. It's the London Warriors versus the Tamworth Phoenix. And the Tamworth Phoenix beat the Warriors in the semi-finals last year. They beat the London Blitz in the semi-finals this year. They're a team to really behold. They've done really well. A great organisation, a lot of fun. They've got a great quarterback. But the Warriors, are they too much for the Phoenix? We will find out in Leeds on Saturday afternoon. Can't wait.
Love it.
And I'm not putting on the pads because I can't remember anything.
You'd soon get it back again.
I know. Listen, Darren, it's been an absolute pleasure.
We got the 2-minute warning.
I know, I'm just saying it's been an absolute pleasure to do this podcast. Now, before we crack on into the 2-minute warning, I just want to say, do you know what? Let's get on with it. 2-minute warning. Are you ready? It's a big one and you've only got 2 minutes, Darren.
I'm ready. Go.
All right, Darren, here we go. 2-minute warning. It starts now. Why is Michael Gallup the most important player in the NFL?
I think, well, maybe not the NFL, but certainly the NFC, and I'll tell you why. The Dallas Cowboys parted ways with Dez Bryant at the end of the season. He's not been picked up by anybody yet. If you look at the Cowboys, they've got a good secondary, they've got a good defensive line, they're going to rotate four defensive ends who are going to get after the quarterback all the time. They've got Dak Prescott, they've got Zeke Elliott, they've got a great line. But who do they throw the ball to? Alan Hearns is not a number one receiver. Tavon Austin, Cole Beasley, not number one receivers. If they want to get to the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs, they need someone to become Dez Bryant. Keep an eye on this guy, Michael Gallup, third round selection from Colorado State. He's got a tremendous relationship with Dak Prescott already over the preseason. They want Michael Gallup to be Dez Bryant. If Michael Gallup can beat Dez Bryant, they can win the NFC East, they can go deep into the NFC playoffs, and they might have a shot to get it all the way to the Super Bowl. If Gallup can't get the job done, I think you can almost write Dallas off as an offense because they'll key on Zeke Elliott and that inability to be able to get the ball down the field, minus Jason Witten as well, of course, who's retired, will become a problem for them. Michael Gallup is a massive, massive player for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a player that not many people have heard of. Watch him, monitor him. He could be the difference between Dallas being really good and really average.
Who got him in our fantasy draft?
Big Tim got him.
Right, we've got 20 seconds. All right, just quickly. There's rumours that Shad Khan is going to buy Wembley. Is that the foundation of us having a London franchise?
I think it would certainly help. I'm all for it from an NFL standpoint, but I get the arguments against from a football point of view.
Thank you very much. There you go. 2-minute warning is done. No, appreciate it. Jared, it's been a pleasure. An absolute joy to get back behind the microphone and just talk absolute nonsense about the NFL. Love it.
I can't believe we're back. Every week, without fail, we're going to really build this thing this year, aren't we, too?
Yeah,
so don't
we are.
Forget, listen, subscribe. What's the next bit?
Comment.
Review.
Review, that's it, yeah. And remember, let's make it more interactive. Get in touch via our social channels, on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Simon, do we have an Instagram? We don't have an Instagram yet, to be honest
with
you. We'll
set one of those up, shall we? Yeah. What we'll say to... I tell you what, why don't we lay it out there? Why don't we do one topic from our downloaders per week?
That's a good one,
yeah. And the topic that we choose, that's where we dish out the vouchers that you've been
nice.
So kind to get over the course of the season.
Nice, I like that. Yeah, good idea. So, like Darren said, let's reiterate, if you've got something that you want us to talk about and you want to join in, maybe we'll get you on the phone and we'll patch you through to the studio. What we can do is take your topic and in return, we'll give you some vouchers either for free stuff, merchandise, or a discount on merchandise and discounts
on Game Pass,
Game Pass as well.
But we do one a week and it's got to be one that we choose.
Exactly. And you know where we are? We are at The Fumble on Twitter. Get your questions in. Thank you once again for listening. Review, subscribe, comment, all that palaver, and we will see you next week. Thank you very much. Cheers, Darren.
Ta-da, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.